Cold mornings, frosty windows. Yep, it's that time of year. So treat yourself and start your day with a cup of fresh roasted Sterling Roastery coffee, sourced from around the world and roasted multiple times a week for unbeatable freshness. It's the kind of warm-up every sports fan deserves this holiday season. And right now, you can win one of three $50 Sterling gift cards, perfect for gifting or building your own winning lineup of Java in the morning. Enter today at sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways so you can wake up, warm up, and Sterling up this holiday season. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
125 defining moments, one legendary league. This is Darren Hayes of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, and a great book is out right now, NFL Moments, 125 Icons and Stories That Define the NFL. It's a definitive visual history of the National Football League, packed with iconic images and untold stories behind the game's biggest plays and its greatest players. From the early legends like Red Grange to today's stars like Patrick Mahomes, this book is a touchdown for fans who crave more than just stories. So give your football bookshelf a Hall of Fame upgrade or snag a holiday gift for that NFL history buff on your shopping list. Pick up NFL Moments, available now at your favorite bookseller. Hey, thanks for joining us for another episode. As we release this episode on Veterans Day, November 11th, 2025, we're going to go back and talk about some football history with our friend Timothy P. Brown. He tells us a story of a man named Bibb Graves, a football legend that you might not know much about, but we're going to learn about right now with Tim in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And welcome to another Tuesday as we get to dive into the football archaeology with Tim Brown of that great website. Tim, welcome back to the Pigpen.
Thank you, Darren. Going to dive in as if I was diving into a grave.
Diving into a grave. Well, that sounds a little bit morbid, but
yeah, I know.
But very befitting as you segue into this recent tidbit of yours that you wrote. It's titled Bibb Graves, Founding Member of Alabama and Texas Football. That's a big statement there, Tim. What can you tell us about Bibb Graves? Yeah.
So I've never met a guy named Bibb before, but that was his mother's maiden name, family name.
So that, I've been told I should wear a bib before.
Yeah, well, maybe you
especially
should.
Especially as I get older here, I've been told that many times.
So this guy, you know, he played a long time ago and I, you know, a little while back, I did a story based on four images from the first year of Auburn football. So it was their first year of playing was 1892 and into 1893, because the last game of that season was played in February of 93 when they played Alabama. And so, as it turned out, you know, so basically the story is about Auburn football and, you know, reviewing these images that a collector friend, John Genantonio, you know, had and allowed me to use. So, you know, there are people out there, you know, if you're into the history of teams, you might know some of the players who played in the first year that Yale played or the first year that Harvard or Princeton played. Typically, that's, I would guess most people have no idea, you know, who was on the, you know, the first year of their favorite team, you know, even the pro teams, you know, people probably don't know. But so every team had a first team. And in the case of Bibb Graves, he was on the first team for two pretty storied programs. So he ended up, he's kind of a campus leader sort of guy. His family was in politics and his, you know, like his grandfather and his great grandfather had been governors of Alabama. And he ended up becoming twice elected governor of Alabama himself. But so he goes to Alabama. So he's on the other team, not on the Auburn team, but he plays in the first Iron Bowl in February 1993. But he was like he was a substitute. You know, he was campus leader. He's one of the captains in the Corps of Cadets at Alabama that year. Just kind of a prominent guy. And so he graduates after lettering at Alabama. So he goes, after the summer, he goes to Austin, Texas, and he enrolls at University of Texas Law School. Well, back then, you know, the whole who's eligible and who isn't, and can graduate students play and professional students play, blah, blah, blah. You know, none of that was really very well defined, especially at a place like Texas, which was just starting a program. And so he enrolls in law school and finds out that they're starting a football team. So he raises his hand and says, I played at Alabama. I know how to play this game. So he joins the team. And, you know, he was a sub at Texas too. You know, I have no idea if it was because he just wasn't that good or because he didn't have the time to put in or, you know, whatever it may have been. But he's listed several times in the game rosters or in the previews of the games as being a substitute. I'm not sure he ever got into a game. And I should say that Jonathan Wells, who writes a site called Journey Through Texas and Longhorn History, he had read my story about the Auburn, Alabama stuff. And he said, hey, by the way, did you know this guy, Bibb Graves, you know, played at both schools? Because he'd written a story about Texas's first team and who the members were. So, you know, he was aware of it. And so anyways, he let me know about it. And so I said, hey, you know, you mind if I write an article about, you know, this guy? So anyways, so that's what I did. And, but, you know, he ended up, the funny thing is he stayed at Texas for 1 year. Then he transfers to Yale. He finished law school there and, you know, did very well there. I looked to see if there was any evidence of him, you know, playing, even scrimmaging or anything at Yale. No evidence of that.
That would have been Walter Camp era, you know.
Yeah, look, well, he would have been. Camp would have certainly been. Camp was done playing by then, but he just by like a year because he played like 6 years,
right?
And but he would have been around the program certainly, you know. Though he went out to Stanford somewhere.
I think that was like late 1890s, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. So anyways. So then he goes back to, you know, Bama and, you know, becomes a, you know, I think kind of a well-known lawyer in Montgomery and is involved in the Alabama militia. And as a result, he ends up, you know, in a, you know, field artillery unit in World War One. So he's over in France, da-da-da-da, comes back. And in the at one point in the mid, they're in the late 20s, he's elected governor of Alabama. And then, I don't know if you couldn't serve consecutive terms at the time, but there was a period where between his first and second term. So he served two terms as governor. And like, you know, he was the governor at the time that they built, you know, Denny Stadium, which is now, or Denny Field, which is now Bryant Denny. You know, and I think, you know, partly because he was governor and partly probably because he was a football fan, you know, he would attend a fair number of games. You know, he went to like, you know, he went north when they played at Wisconsin. He was at Florida when they opened up their stadium, the same stadium that they play in now, Florida. Anyways, and he went to one or two Rose Bowls when Bama was in the Rose Bowl, you know, back then. So, I don't know, it's just kind of an interesting character, but the chances of somebody, it'd be one thing if he was on the first team at Akron, but you know, Akron and, you know,
Wabash or something.
Or Wabash, right? Yeah. Okay, yeah. Fine. And maybe there's somebody out there who was, but he was, you know, first team for Bama and Texas, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, that's really cool, especially You know, he'd probably be really proud now that they're both in the SEC and playing against each other and, you know, and competing for league titles and national championships. That's kind of.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure we know where his loyalties would lie.
Yale?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's the one that starts with an A.
Oh, yeah, I guess when you're governor of the state, you got to keep your loyalty there. So. Yeah, very, very interesting guy. Boy, what a well-rounded life that the man led, you know, between a military hero, football star or football player at different places, and governor, and wow, pretty interesting fella.
Yeah, I never saw anything about him coaching, which I, you know, thought maybe he would, but, you know.
He was too busy.
Yeah, that's true. He
had a lot going on.
He had things to do.
Yeah. But this is another example of, you know, grabbing somebody from the past that, until I read your tidbit, I had never heard of this gentleman before. But definitely he played a part in football history that's important to us that like to reflect back on that. And our listeners love to do that. And you get to preserve that, not only the game's history, but this man's history. And you do this quite a bit in your tidbits that you come out with a few times a week. Maybe you could share with listeners how they can partake in some of these.
Yeah, just go to footballarchaeology.com. It's a Substack site. If you subscribe, you know, you'll get an email every time I publish an article. Otherwise, bookmark it. Follow me on the Substack app or follow me on Blue Sky. Because, you know, everything gets up. Every time I publish, I update, you know, on those as well. So.
All right. Well, Tim, we sure appreciate you joining us here this evening and each and every Tuesday. And we'd love to talk to you again next week about some more great football history.
Looking forward to it.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
You did not see their faces on the Wheaties boxes, nor did they have the headlines, but they were breaking barriers, one pitch at a time. The integration of minor league baseball, a history and player register, 1946 to 1959, by Rick Swain and Gary C. Fink, shines a light on the overlooked heroes who paved the way for future legends. From dusty bus rides to hostile crowds, these players fought for a place in a game that did not want to see them win. More than history, it's a tribute to courage, perseverance, and the power of a game to change. Honor their legacy today and grab a copy of The Integration of Minor League Baseball at your favorite bookseller.